This is Joe Gervicious, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Didn't you give me a hard time last time when I responded to that? If you see a child in a car, call 911.
No, I didn't give you a hard time.
Yeah, because I said I was going to bash the window in, and you go, oh, well, what if he's okay?
Well, because we were talking about the kid being like 12 and just on a Game Boy or like a Nintendo Switch, and you're like going to bash the window, cut him with glass.
I wouldn't do it at 12. I would do it at 7.
No, if it was an infant. If it's old enough to open the door and walk out because it's hot, then I think you leave it in the car. Especially if the car's
hit. You don't know if it's
a boy or girl. Or you don't know what it identifies itself as. I mean, Joe Gervicious, who just came out of break, identified himself as former Buccaneer. I thought once you're a Buccaneer, you're a Buccaneer for life.
No, that's only a Marine. That's only a Marine.
It's only if you're a champion?
No, it's only a Marine.
What?
Only Marines are never former. That's it. And I don't know how they pull that off. But no, champions are former champions.
Well, and a liner, would you call yourself former Buccaneer? Like, wouldn't it be Buccaneer for life?
No. First of all, he played other places.
So what if he does a liner every time? Always former, and except for the current?
Yeah, except for the current. He's a former Buccaneer. Rob Gronkowski is a former Buccaneer.
Okay.
Rob Gronkowski is going to go in the Hall of Fame as a former New England Patriot.
He will for a one-day contract. Will they sign him? And then?
Well, you don't have to sign.
Oh, you don't?
No. No.
I thought they did like the celebratory signing for a day.
They do that so they feel better.
It's not a contractual thing, like a legal thing.
No. It has nothing to do with Hall of Fame, bust, any of that kind of stuff. Yeah, really. Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. Like positive of, I'm positive. The two of the baddest people on the planet just walked into the restaurant.
I think you called for backup because you knew that I was going to throw
it. We're
going to
create the fireman pizza today. I know it doesn't have jalapenos on it, even though I'm petitioning for it.
We'll get those fighters on shortly who just walked in. But right now we're going to jump back to the phone lines. Head back to Dallas as we get ready for UFC 277. And welcome to the program, Drew Dober. Drew, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We appreciate your time. Another fight week, and I ask this all the time of all of the fighters. Is it just another fight week? Are they different? Do you get through them all the same? Talk to us about that.
I sure wish they were all the same, because then you could, they could be predictable. But every fight week is something different, something new, new challenges to overcome. And so, but that's what makes it entertaining, right? You don't know what to expect, and so you got to be reactive the entire time.
Well, what would be something, that you could talk about that could be thrown at the last minute to kind of throw you out of sorts that has happened in the past?
Well, I mean, I think usually it's that the weight descent is usually the biggest concern when you arrive. And it's just figuring out, like, the when, the where. And there's times where I'd go to a cut weight at a place, and they had their hot tub closed, or the sauna didn't work, or, hotel rooms have changed. One time, like, my hotel room wasn't even getting cold, and so just sweating in my own hotel room with a fan in it. So, it's just all a bunch of, like, minor things, but
they're major. They could be minor, but they could be major. I remember the UFC was in Pittsburgh, and there were some guys that needed to get into the sauna, and there was two very large men at the door that would not allow them in. And this was back in the day. Burt Watson was in charge, and he had to go find out. There was a reason that nobody was allowed in, because the president was inside, like on a bike or something. And they had to, like, pull some strings so the fighters could go in there and drop the weight.
Oh, man, that's a problem. I think my most significant memory of, like, fight week shenanigans was I was cutting weight during New Year's. So as I was in my most depleted stage trying to get some sleep, fireworks are going off. And these are kind of things you don't really predict or plan, which I feel like you probably could have, considering the day.
Well, the only good thing about that is it was New Year's. You know, these knuckleheads that shoot off fireworks for New Year's, like, December 15th. can you wait? Describe what it's like for you to walk out to an octagon, to the cage, on fight night. What is that like? What's going through your mind?
That is the moment that I live for. I can't speak for all fighters, but for me, man, that locker room is cold and full full of anxiety, and it's just like it's not the where I need to be. And then as soon as I take that step into the lights in front of the fans with the cameras, hearing the music, that's the moment it just starts lighting up, and like that's when I know this is what I love doing. And these are the moments that I constantly have to remind myself as I'm bleeding, crying, and sweating for this career.
That's going to be the ultimate outcome is that walk out and then the door being shut.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This is why I do what I do, and this is when all the suffering comes to fruition.
What's the strangest, craziest, funniest thing that's ever happened either to you or with you in the middle of a fight, during a fight?
I guess I got a couple. More so, it's when you start talking to fighters during the competition. And for me, it was never trash talking. It was always like friendly banter or just things that are being discussed with each other. That's like, Islam Makhachev threw an unintentional groin shot, but it was a very unique one, like with his hand and everything. So he apologized for it as he was continue wrestling me. And I was like, oh, absolutely, like, no worries. Like, as I'm getting out grappled. Or I had a regional fight where I was winning significantly, and he was just expressing that, man, you're really kicking my butt. Oh, man, I'm so tired. Like, he was just encouraging me as it was happening.
Has it ever kind of, thrown you off of your thinking as somebody's like, hey, you're kicking my butt? And like, it kind of gets in your head for a second?
No, I'm the type of athlete that, this is just a walk in the park for me. And just those engagements and being friendly and like treating this as a martial art, not an actual fight, is what I prefer. It's the zone I want to be in. So these little small engagements actually just make me fight harder.
And it's not necessarily a walk in the park. With three of your last fights, it would be more like a walk to the bank because of you continue to get bonuses.
Yeah, I think I was built for one thing, and that was fighting. So I'm never worried or threatened while I'm in that cage. I'm only in there trying to showcase my abilities and put on a firework engagement for the fans.
As long as it's not New Year's Eve.
I mean, who knows? I feel like statistically I'm undefeated in January. So if you make me miss Christmas, the fight is going to be entertaining.
That's good.
So Drew, so look, you're obviously training out of the birthplace of the UFC. It started back in 1993, but coming from Omaha, what is it about that area that got you into the fighting game? And do you still feel like the Art Davey influence is still in the culture of Denver and that area of why everybody trains in the Mile High City?
Yeah, man. To speak on Omaha, there's something in our water. We're producing fighters back and like back to back. I mean, I have the privilege to fight on the same card as Anthony Smith, who's also from Omaha, Nebraska. There's been a long list of fighters. It was like the UFC 3 was actually won by a cop in Omaha, Nebraska. Like, we just love to fight. And so it's such a huge honor and privilege to come from such a fight-focused town. But Denver, Colorado is where you need to move to if you want to be a fighter. Just since 1993, the thing is a hub for MMA. And, man, it took me by surprise. I just showed up to do some cross-training, and there were so many opportunities, so many talented fighters, and plus the Olympic training centers there, like high altitude as well. Like, there's so many opportunities to be a better athlete and better fighter. So, man, I love it there.
So Drew, I'm partners with a gym out in Denver. It's in Highlands Ranch. It's called the GNAT Vertical Training Center. So after this fight, for your next fight camp, if you want to check out vertical training in the Mile High City, I will set it up with my partners. We'll do it for nothing. You guys come in, bring your people, your crew, and I would love to show you a different experience, man.
Oh, that would be fantastic. I'd love trying new things. It breaks up the monotony of training camp. And so, yeah, you'll see me soon.
Well, and I can top that. You know I can top that, Matt.
How's that?
Well, we can invite Drew down to Koufax, where my brother has a branch.
He does.
And if you know anything about Koufax, you'll get in a fight or two there as well.
Yeah, there's a real street training down there. Well, the Bare Knuckle announced they're going to Denver in October 15th.
Drew, what's the biggest change in the sport since you started?
I think it's just going from, you know, those backyard brawlers to now real, like, technical athletes. I think it's just there was that trend of just people are just trying to be tough in a cage to now, like, tough people learning martial arts and now athletes learning martial arts. And we're at a point right now, if you look at, like, the champions with Israel Adesanya and Usman, that these guys could make it in other sports. Their martial art and technique is incredible. It's not just one thing now. And so, like, collectively, MMA and UFC has just evolved so much. Like, now we can compete against, you know, other athletics all over the world.
You know, one of the things that hit me the other day, and I've been covering the UFC since the very first one at UFC 1, and, you know, and I always would say to the fighters, like, what was it like to see your name at the bottom of the scroll on Spike TV and, you know, and then on ESPN, which was huge. Now it's ABC. And to me, I think, you know, fights being shown on ABC is even bigger than being on ESPN.
Right. I mean, it's... And I was privileged to the fact that I was into this sport, you know, before the first Ultimate Fighter. And so I got to be a part of the constant growth of, like, Ultimate Fighter, Spike TV, ESPN, Reebok, and, like, all these, like, changes, but, like, positive changes have been incredible. And now when I tell people, you know, I fight for the UFC or I'm an Ultimate Fighter, you know, the looks that I receive have changed completely.
Well, yeah, but do you tell people you train UFC?
It is my favorite sport.
It is.
I'm just so glad people find that awkward now.
No, for sure. For sure. And the people that know just chuckle. And that's why I say it sometimes. It's just a chuckle. Yeah, I train UFC.
Hey, so, Drew, like, just because you mentioned the Ultimate Fighter, I'm on your Instagram and I go back to May 6th and you're standing in front of the wall of Ultimate Fighter jerseys from all the seasons at the Apex Center. Talk about that and how impressive that wall is.
It's cool.
Oh, so impressive. I mean, I literally was just hanging out with a group of friends that actually didn't even know what the Ultimate Fighter was. And so I had to, like, show some highlights of, like, you know, all the seasons. And we're, what, season 30 now?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so impressive. And it's got with so much content, so much stories. And, you know, being in front of that wall and just seeing kind of, like, the growth of this entire sport is absolutely incredible. And then being a part of it, you know, the entire time is even more. And so, man, like I said, I love what I do. I'm getting goosebumps over here.
No, I did the same thing. I froze and I was just like in awe of it all. It took me 20 years ago. I just could remember being with Mike Nichols, who was training for the Ultimate Fighter season 3 and training with him in Denver at the 24-Hour Fitness and him chasing this dream. But he owned a tattoo shop and he was hoping to become a fighter. And just, I mean, all those memories came back. It was just so epic to be at the Apex.
It's so crazy to see Mike Nichols. Our crew might be similar. I work with one of his coaches and a good friend of his currently. You know Oscar Martinez?
I know the name. I don't know him personally.
So, yeah, I mean, so, oh, cool.
It's a small world.
Small world.
We're definitely going to connect, man. I'll get you to the center with my partners. We'll get you guys training out there. You're going to love the vertical training. It's going to help you with your fight game so much. And when I come out to Denver, Randy and I will all meet up and
we'll go. We'll take them to Colfax.
We'll do some bare-knuckle boxing.
Drew, before we let you go, what can the fans expect when you get back in the octagon on Saturday?
The fight everyone wants to see. I take risks. I put my chin out there. I got a good left hand. If you like the Rocky movies, you'll love when I fight.
Well, to me, Rocky Balboa is the greatest athlete of all time. So, yes, I like your fights. Nothing. No comment there. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box of food from Right to Track for you coming on and giving us a couple minutes of your time. Have fun and enjoy yourself on Saturday.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys.
Awesome.
Talk to you soon. Drew Dober back in the octagon on Saturday, UFC 277.
It's crazy. It's like a blink and it's, you know.
Well, and the thing people look at, 277, no, there's really been a whole lot more.
Of course, because you have fight nights and Ultimate Fighters and Dana White Contender Series.
Well, even more than that, people forget 37 and a half. UFC 37 and a half, Chuck Liddell fought at the Bellagio. That they just threw in, you know, hey, let's do this one.
Yeah.
So technically, let's add all those up. And I would be curious if we did research, add all that stuff up and see what number they're really at.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, when you see the Ultimate Fighter, people kind of think that's the inception of the UFC and the MMA, but it goes back to 1993, November 12th. You know what's symbolic about that event, that day?
No.
Is the next New York, Madison Square Garden, UFC, is November 12th this year. And I think it matters where you fight. I like the MSG arena. I like the history and the
I like it too. I'll be there, but I don't really think it matters. All right, let's hit a break. When we come back, we'll discuss more. Colin Hay at the bottom of the hour. Don Tail Mays coming up at a quarter of. A lot of cool stuff still to get to. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Martin Gramatica, talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for our 19th annual Tuxes and Tails. This Black Tie Gala will be hosted at the Tampa Convention Center on October 8th from 5:30 p.m. till midnight and will feature adoptable pets, a silent auction, a cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, an after party with cigars and dancing along the Riverwalk, and much more. Tickets and sponsorship are still available at www.tuxestailstampa.com. Come show your support for homeless animals in Tampa Bay while you dine and dance all night.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'm Kevin Hazlett. As a prosecutor, I faced down human traffickers and drug cartels. I was threatened, even followed. But you can't seek justice if you're looking over your shoulder. In Congress, I won't be intimidated by the left or open border Republicans. The Washington cartel wants amnesty. I'll say no. They do nothing as fentanyl floods our streets. I'll fight to finish the wall. The cartels won't like this ad. I'm Kevin Hazlett, and that's why I approved it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Retief Goosen from the PGA Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
And you're back. This is Knockout Radio.
You're not back. They never left.
You're back.
We're back. We're back.
Formerly known as Knockout Radio, now it's NC Radio.
NC?
No contest.
Oh, NC.
Yeah, we don't have any contests. We don't give stuff away anymore. So we should do something like bingo.
No.
We'll give Mega Million tickets away for Friday night. $1 billion.
No, I want no part of that.
And I'm getting a quarter of it.
I owe you 25 pennies.
I'm taking it. You shook. And a handshake means something in my day.
Well, it doesn't matter if it means anything to you. It only matters if it means something to me.
You still do old school business like that? A handshake means something?
I don't even need to do a handshake. My word is better than a handshake.
Word is bond?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just got a text message, and then Abe and Malky, I think it was Abe, just retweeted it. I guess, I don't want to get political, so I got to be careful. I guess a trade is being negotiated for a basketball player.
Oh, for Griner?
I
the Russians are going to trade her?
Well, they've been wanting a trader.
Well, what are we getting? Who are we getting rid of?
Well, no, no, no. They want a trader because, and again, I want to make sure I word this properly so people don't come out of the woodwork. They want a trader for somebody, for people they want back,
oh,
which are not good.
Ah.
So to trade a basketball player who got arrested for, I don't care what kind of drug, it was illegal in that country, for a terrorist is insane to me.
Wow.
It's okay. Insane.
What about the guy that killed Rocky's guy? Like, what, wasn't that a Russian dude?
Are you going to be an idiot again?
I don't know. What's the...
Ivan Drago did kill Apollo Creed in the squared circle. And that's not funny. You're an idiot. But to trade a basketball player, I don't even care if it's drug related. To trade an athlete for a terrorist.
Especially a WNBA player.
No.
It's not real basketball.
You're the only one that finds your stupidity funny.
Okay. Well, what would you trade her for, then?
I wouldn't trade for her.
Just let her go?
Yeah. Hey, you're on your own. You're the one that carried an illegal substance through a country that's now basically in a war against us because we are involved, whether we should, shouldn't be, you know, whatever. But I believe it's her and somebody else for... A U.S. teacher sentenced to 14 years for traveling to Russia with cannabis. Trade for her. She's a teacher.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I stand by, and again, I only say things that I believe.
Yes.
If it was LeBron, if it was Peyton Manning, they would still be over there as well.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely.
No, LeBron, they would get LeBron back.
I don't believe so.
Oh, he's a champion.
Well, he's not, but whatever.
Well, your president's out of COVID, so he's tested negative today, so congratulations.
Good. I don't wish harm upon anyone.
Is he making that decision to trade for this person?
He would be, I would assume, the ultimate decision maker, wouldn't you think?
I would hope that.
And if it's a bad decision, it's coming from him. All bad decisions come from him.
Well,
now
you're political.
Now you're getting the office up there said that they have nothing to do with gas prices. But now that it's come down like 26 cents, they're pounding their chest.
Oh, yeah.
Gas prices are down. I thought you had nothing to do with it when it went from $1.87 to $16.12.
I think Alex Perez had a picture of him riding a horse that if a gas price is getting any higher, I'm taking a horse to work.
How about this? So I was up in a place I've never been before, Homosassa Springs.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful up there.
And I was on a boat. This guy takes people from the dock to their houses.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to get to the house.
Yeah.
There's no electricity. Well, there's electricity. They use generators. You got to take a boat. How would you deliver Uber?
Oh, you could deliver pizzas by boat.
Well, you couldn't.
I don't have a boat.
Right.
But I have friends that have boats. And that makes me have boat access.
The best thing about this whole conversation is it's time to take a break so that we can be ready for Men at Work when we return. I'm ready for you.
Men with hats.
I'm ready for you at any time to work.
Men with hats.
This is Knockout Radio brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
How you doing? This is Tony Gonzalez from the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for our 19th annual Tuxes and Tails. This Black Tie Gala will be hosted at the Tampa Convention Center on October 8th from 5:30 p.m. till midnight and will feature adoptable pets, a silent auction, a cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, an after party with cigars and dancing along the Riverwalk, and much more. Tickets and sponsorship are still available at www.tuxestailstampa.com. Come show your support for homeless animals in Tampa Bay while you dine and dance all night.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070. Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
I'm Kevin Hazlett. As a prosecutor, I faced down human traffickers and drug cartels. I was threatened, even followed. But you can't seek justice if you're looking over your shoulder. In Congress, I won't be intimidated by the left or open border Republicans. The Washington cartel wants amnesty. I'll say no. They do nothing as fentanyl floods our streets. I'll fight to finish the wall. The cartels won't like this ad. I'm Kevin Hazlett, and that's why I approved it.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're the Coors Light Twins, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
You're listening to Men with Hats.
I come from a London, London. It is a good song.
Like, iconic.
You just lost your mind. I've been saying...
It's the most legendary song probably of all time. Like, there's a few songs, like our top five, but that song there... Got to be up there.
I can't believe that I have said Colin's name for a week now, and you never registered when I said he was coming on.
It didn't register. But well, now it
hopefully
did.
He's coming on. Until he's on, he's not on.
I hope he comes on. I have questions.
So do I. The same question he's been asked 3,436,216,412 times.
Is Crocodile Dundee his favorite song?
Crocodile Dundee is a song?
Favorite movie?
No.
What are you going to ask? Did he drink Foster's?
No. Is he the world's most interesting man? He's an American.
He's Scottish.
No, he's an American.
He was born in Scotland.
He was born in Scotland, moved to Australia, and he is now a citizen of the United States.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. We welcome him because he comes from a land down under.
Do you know where he calls home? Where's the state? What state?
California.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Came out, he has a home recording studio. That's where he just cut his new album. I listened to it a little last night. So, yeah. So, good stuff. So, hopefully.
If you were coming from another country, well, let's say you were coming from the land down under, and you came to America, what state would you pick, Randy, to call home?
I want to live in the Isle of Man.
And that's Homosassa?
You know where the Isle of Man is?
No.
Do you know who comes from the Isle of Man?
No.
The Bee Gees. They come from the Isle of Man.
And where is that at?
I have no idea, but I'm sure it's somewhere around Australia because everybody thinks they're from Australia.
Oh.
You know, how can you ask such stupid hypothetical questions?
Why?
Because you can't
answer
that.
Let's get to know you. I mean, you claim to be from Philly because you were born there, but like you never spent any time there.
I have spent time there.
You don't live there. You never had mail sent there.
Yes, I did.
You had an address.
Yes.
Was it next to Rocky's apartment, or did you live in Kensington?
I did live in Kensington.
Is that where your address was?
I had a Kensington address.
Okay.
But you ready?
Oh, boy. This is big.
Well, life's crazy. It truly so is. Cool. It's just a few weeks ago at the UFC Apex Center, we talked about this group and we talked about this person. And then I get a call a couple days ago like, hey, can you get Colin Hay on? Absolutely. Let's welcome to the show. Colin, how are you, sir?
I'm pretty good, thank you very much. Oh, well, I'm actually slightly panicked at the moment because I'm about to leave. So it's always a slightly stressful day before you go out on a tour about what to take and what to leave behind.
Well, and I was going to ask, what's stressful about it? Is that all it is? It's just what you need to bring with you?
Yes, it's not really, you know, it's on the low end of the spectrum of stress levels, but you know, nonetheless, it's slightly angst causing, but I'll be fine.
you're coming to the Tampa Bay area next week. Are you bringing bathing suits and tank tops and flip flops?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll all be bringing those. I don't know whether they'll get used because we have a limited amount of time. But, you know, when you go where the sun shines, which is what we're doing most of the time, I think that flip-flops are important, as are some kind of bathing equipment.
So you're coming to town next week at Ruth Eckert Hall with John Waite, and then you're returning on the 16th as part of the Ringo Starr and the All-Star Band. So I'm kind of curious, and I was kind of joking with the bathing suits and such, but will you have the opportunity to get out to, whether it is go to the beach, or I'm sure Matt's going to invite you to his restaurant, or will you have any time to get out?
Well, we sometimes do, but it depends on whether we have a day off or not. You know, simply, I mean, if we have a day off, then we do have time. And there's a limited days off, you know. So I think that's probably, it's usually like, you know, four or five gigs on and then one off. And during the day when it's a show day, even although you might have a few hours to spare, you know, going to the beach is not something that I would tend to do on, you know, when you have a show that night, just simply because of the fact that it's all about those 2 hours at nighttime. You know, whereas if you have a day off, then you can relax a little bit more, you know. So I'm not sure at this point whether we do have a day off or not. We might.
So Colin, so I absolutely would invite you to my restaurant if you do have the time. It would be an honor to cook for you and your band, bring everyone in.
And we have a limo to pick you and the band and everybody up as well.
And on Saturday, I was cooking for a young lady, and she is, my last name is McClellan. She told me that I was obviously Scottish. And she is part of the Cultural Society of Scottish. And so my question is, do you ever do the genealogy? Have you ever done the ancestry of your name and from where you came from in Scotland?
Well, I know where I came from because I was born there. And and I lived there for 14 years before I went to Australia. So I know pretty much only up until my grandparents. I don't really know beyond that, but I know pretty much where they were all from. You know, they were from Glasgow, and before that, on my father's side, they came from Aberdeen up on the northeast coast of Scotland. But the Hay clan, if you like, there's about three or four different centres in Scotland where they were. You know, where there was a big, big population of my people. I come from the southwest coast of Scotland, and it's a beautiful part of the world, but it's very wet. It rains all the time, and which is why we decided to get on a big ship and go to Australia.
And then you're coming to the Tampa Bay area, which it rains here all the time. So you'll feel right at home. What one of my
yes,
co-hosts...
At least it's warm, though. At least it's warm. In Scotland, it's not warm. It's freezing.
No, that's definitely true. One of my co-hosts who lives in Las Vegas, he's a Las Vegas performer with the Tenors of Rock, is also from Glasgow. So your name came up when we were at the Apex, the UFC Apex, doing some interviews with some fighters, and one of the fighters was from Australia. And they brought up, and I know that you're probably sick and tired of talking about this, but they were talking about their love of the Vegemite sandwich. And I looked at them like, what are you talking about? I know the song, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
How many millions of times have you had to, or not had to, but asked to explain what a Vegemite sandwich is?
Well, I've been asked many, many times, and I would answer it quite freely. I still do, but then I'm more likely to say now, well, you know, there is this thing called Google. You know, you can just look it up. You know, it's really not that difficult. to find out what it is. It's really not that difficult to find out anything, really. It depends on I suppose, that therein lies a wealth of information and a wealth of misinformation also on the internet. It's really a byproduct of the beer industry. It's made from yeast extract, which is left over when they make beer. And so at some point, I suppose there was a conversation between a couple of guys, and they said, "Well, what do you reckon we could do with this yeast that's left over there, Bob?" "Oh, I reckon we want to order Michael a sandwich spread with it." You know, and so that's what they did.
And just so you know, I did Google it.
It's highly nutritious. Highly nutritious, and it's quite a savory spread. And you know, the way to have it is you. I like it with multigrain toast, and you with a liberal slathering of butter, or if you're looking after your heart, some smart balance, and just a small amount of Vegemite will do the trick. You know, it's not to be used in a liberal fashion.
Interesting. So at some point we need to go down to Australia and try it out. Let me ask you this:
You don't even have to go to Australia. You can try that. You can actually buy it in America. You can get it here, no problem. You don't have to go to You don't have to travel 10,000 miles to sample Vegemite. But you can if you like, because I would highly recommend taking a trip to Australia, but not just for the Vegemite.
I would like to go to Australia, but I did not know that you could get it here, and I will. I will try it. Yeah. Colin, let me ask you this. Yeah. I know picking your favorite song or your favorite song to perform is like picking your favorite child. So I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite song to perform?
My favorite song to perform, usually what my favorite song to perform is the latest song that I came up with. But that's on a personal level, you know, because you always like to perform the last thing you came up with, because it's the most exciting, because it's fresh and new, and you just came up with it. But of all the older songs, if you like, from the olden times, I think that probably Overkill is still a song that seems to be. I don't know. It's always very rewarding to play it. They all are, actually. All the songs that from the old band still really work really well. There's a song called "Waiting for My Real Life to Begin" that I wrote 20 years or 30 years old, I suppose now, the song. But people respond to that really well as well. But let's say Overkill. That'll be a simple answer.
And Colin, I'm on the Google machine as well, and I see. There's a friendship, a connection with actor, director Zach Braff. And I know his family lives in St. Pete. I've cooked for him before. And so if he's in town while you're in town, it would be great to see him again. And
you're doing everything you can to get an
honor to cook for you as well.
Now, listen, let me ask you this. What
yes,
kind of things, what are your favorite things to cook?
So I invented the pizza diet. And I became a professional bodybuilder eating nothing but pizza. So pizza is my forte.
Wow.
I learned how to cook in Brooklyn. It's authentic. It's healthy. And I'm the best at what I do.
That sounds very exciting.
And I'll be honored to cook for you, my friend.
We're a band of pizza lovers, of course.
Let me ask you this. Are you a fan of other sports? This is mainly a sports network, but obviously we love talking entertainment. And are you a fan of sports, of other sports?
I like sports. I like watching sports. I like, I love it. I love all kinds of sports. I sometimes wish that I could get fanatical about particular teams, but I don't. I played soccer growing up. That was my game in Scotland before I went to Australia. Then I grew to love Australian rules football, although I never really played it, but I enjoyed that as well. And I enjoy track and field, and I loved boxing. I loved Muhammad Ali. I loved from Australia. I loved Jeff Fenwick. I loved all kinds of that area. Although it's pretty brutal, but I do admit that I had a great love of Muhammad Ali growing up. And my favorite sporting moment really was probably Kathy Freeman when she won the 400 meters in the 2000 Olympics in Sydney. That was, I think, my favorite sporting moment ever. I was weeping. It was such a beautifully run race. It was perfect. And I thought it just really doesn't get any better than that.
Fan of golf, you know, coming from where you come from?
I like golf, but I don't play it. I imagine it's a very rewarding and extremely frustrating game at the same time. But yeah, I like golf, but I've never taken that up. Perhaps it's something that I should do, but I haven't as yet.
Well, I don't know how you would have time, you know, between, you know, Men at Work, the Ringo Starr All-Star Band, your solo career. I know just recently, a couple months ago, that another new album came out. How do you have time to go do any of those things?
Well, that's right, which is why I haven't.
Okay. What is the funniest, craziest, strangest thing that's ever happened while you were on stage?
I think it was Phoenix, Arizona. I think it might have when we first came. There was some idiot who had decided that he thought it would be a good idea to have this kangaroo join us on stage. He was training wallabies, which is a smaller kangaroo. He kind of made this animal hop onto the stage, and I turned around and I saw this wallaby, this kangaroo standing there, and he just looked terrified, and he looked like, what am I doing here, you know? And I just thought, okay, please take this poor animal off the stage and stop traumatizing it.
How do you sneak a kangaroo into a concert?
Oh, I don't think he sneaked in. I think he was wearing a tuxedo.
The kangaroo or the guy?
Yeah, no, the kangaroo. Yeah, I think he was wearing a tuxedo.
Crazy. I just mentioned...
thought he was a very strange-looking gentleman, you know?
Oh, my God. Talk about the solo album, you know, that just came out a couple months ago, Now in the Evermore.
Well, you know, you do these records. It's very, very hard to get records noticed these days. But it's my favorite thing that I've ever done. Of course, I always say that about every record that I do. But you try and get better at what you do. You know, it's like, you know, when you say you're a sporting network, a sporting radio station. I mean, that's what people who are involved in sports try to do. You know, it's all about the nuance. It's all about that little detail that makes a big difference. You know, whether you're pole vaulting or a high jump, it's not about big increments. It's about, you know, it's about centimeters or millimeters even, you know. So with songs, I think it's the same thing. You're always just trying to say more with less, and you're trying to get more essential and get better at what you do. And I'm in a profession where in a lot of ways, it doesn't really matter how old you get. You can still do that, you know, because it's not about so much about physical prowess. It's more about continuing to hone it, you know, and trying to get better. So anyway, the record is I tried to instill as much beauty as I could to the record. It was a pandemic record, really. It was a record that I wrote just before the pandemic hit, so I guess it was somewhat influenced by that, those tragic events, and which is indeed continuing to this day. But so it was. I don't know. All I can say is that, you know, if you're interested in what I do, I think that if you have a listen to the record, you won't be disappointed. And the first thing you'll hear, of course, on the record is an iconic fill by the great Ringo Starr, which is it's worth it just for that.
I listened last night, you know, and I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to get off the show in a couple hours and get back home and sit in a chair and listen some more. What can the fans expect, you know, when they come out to Ruth Eckerd Hall next week when you and Men at Work and John Waite are on stage?
Well, you know, what do you think? What do you think that fans should expect? Who knows? Who knows what people expect? You know, I wouldn't. people expect all kinds of things, you know. You know, people are weird. But I think that people can expect to be entertained, you know. They can expect to hear. It's like if you go to a party, you know, like you want to see some people you know. You want to see some old friends that you haven't seen for a while. But then sometimes you want to strike up a conversation with a stranger, you know, someone you haven't met. So there'll probably be some things that people haven't heard. But all the if you've come to hear particular songs, I doubt that you won't go home disappointed.
Do you expect to see a kangaroo wearing a tuxedo?
No, I don't think. I think that was a once only, hopefully. Yeah, mainly because it was, you know, look, you know, people do all kinds of, you know, terrible things with traumatized animals. I remember it, you know, because it wasn't. Mainly because of the fact that the look on the wallaby's face, the kangaroo's face, was imprinted in my memory. He was very frightened, very scared.
Colin, I want to thank you for your time. This has been awesome. I've been on the air for almost 40 years, and this is one of my favorite conversations I've ever had.
No question.
I can't wait for you to come to town. I will be at Ruth Eckert Hall next week. Looking forward to watching you on stage.
All right, thanks. Take care of yourselves, and see you next week.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Colin Hay from Men at Work. Good stuff. I cannot wait. That'll be next week. Let's go hit a real quick break. When we come back, Dontell Mays gets in the octagon on Saturday. We'll be right back.
It's lawyers after crying, saying it's a mistake. It's a mistake.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Matthew Banks with Blue Man Group, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Matt Millen down in Tampa. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Gonna take a freight train. All right, we are back way behind time.
Yeah.
Let's jump to the phone lines real quick as we continue to talk about UFC 277. Dontell May is on the phone with us. Don, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Another fight week. You know, and I always ask fighters, is every fight week the same? And how do you get through the next couple days?
It's usually just a smooth seven for me being a heavyweight. You know, I just be chilling, you know, make sure I stay geared up, you know what I'm saying, get a few runs in during the week and just stay ready, really, stay loose.
I've always been curious when an opponent gets changed, whether it's the week of, whether it's the month of. I've always looked at it as a old, fat, out-of-shape, non-athletic person. That this could be something good, kind of like a rejuvenate. You know, I've been thinking of this one name for so long. Is that the case, or do you even care who steps in there against you on Saturday?
Yeah, I really wasn't worried. I had my camp, you know, so it really it sits back against the wall because he fight me on 2 weeks' notice. Of course, I'm fighting him on 2 weeks' notice too, but you know, I've been training, I've been getting ready, so it is what it is. I see gold in my future, so I got to be ready to whoop him off.
Are you a fan of any other sports?
Yeah. I watch basketball, football.
Do you cook? You know, we're trying to get the nation to know a little bit more about you that they may or may not already know. Do you collect anything, whether it's memorabilia or DVDs or shoes?
I really don't collect much. Really, I'm not a sneakerhead or anything. I'm not really a collector. But when I come across something that I like, and I grab it, and some people might be like, "Dang, where you get that at?" You know what I'm saying? I've been looking for that, and then the whole time I didn't even know it was rare.
Give me your thoughts on your opponent.
Brawler. You know, he got wrestling background, but I haven't seen him really chase his wrestling in his fight. But, yeah, he's a brawler, heavy hand. And you know, there's nothing I haven't seen there at all because, you know, people have been trying to take me down my whole career. So, you know, if he is to get a takedown, I can get up. You know, since I've been taken down before, so it's not a problem. Right.
Your last two fights were in the Apex. You know, how much are you looking forward to being in front of a full-packed arena?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Hopefully it's as packed as my debut out there in Singapore, you know, but with a different result. But, I like the crowd. The crowd really riles me up, for real.
No, it'll be packed. I'm looking forward to it. What can the fans expect, you know, on Saturday when you get back in on the Octagon?
You can expect the finish. You can expect, you know what I'm saying, clean, precise striking, and just Octagon control me, just doing what I want and having a better performance than I did last.
Saturday won't come soon enough, right?
Yeah, can't wait.
I want to thank you for your time. Have fun on Saturday. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box of food from Right to Track for coming on and talking to us.
Okay, I appreciate you.
Appreciate your time, sir. That is Dontell Mays back in the Octagon on Saturday. I know we only have a couple minutes left, but some guy with a black eye just walked in, and I figured...
That's just not some guy.
A guy.
That's the guy.
He is...
When you Google BKFC, it comes up, Jared Warren, Captain Deadpool, the best of Tampa Fight Night 2, BKFC.
I thought it came up Hot Tub Mover.
Oh, he has an extensive resume.
Whatever you need help with, I'm here.
How you doing? How you feeling?
Feeling good, man. We had a awesome night on Saturday, and you know, all the guys that train out of the same camp as me, everybody took home a win that night. So I'm happy, man.
How difficult? And I know we only have a couple minutes. It's Matt's fault. How difficult is it when you have a bunch of teammates, you know, fighting on the same card? You know, you've got to worry about yourself, but I know you're still thinking about your other guys.
Yeah, I mean,
other athletes.
It's mostly
so political.
It's more on my coach. You know, he has to make sure we all get our hands wrapped and make sure everybody is warmed up and all that stuff. And one out of our three fighters was in the opposite corner, so he had to jump back and forth to check on him. You know what I mean? But
with the way they were so dressed, so fly, they had to run around like that. You like that, huh?
Yeah,
I'm offended.
He is dressed pretty fly. You got to give it to him. But yeah, man, I do try and watch their fights from the back if I can. But if I'm getting ready to come up, I'll just switch gears and just focus solely on the warm up and stuff, and turn the phone off and stop watching.
A, can you hear the crowd as they were chanting you the whole time? And do you purposely try not to look at Matt because he tries to get into the squared
circle? I try to get inside. I want to be there.
Matt tries to make that direct eye contact. Exactly. And lock you in.
Yeah.
No, I could hear everybody cheering for me. I had a lot of friends afterwards who were like, "Hey man, did you hear us say this and this for Skip?" I'm like, absolutely not. Like, I know you guys are there. I know you're loud, but I was like, I'm kind of trained to hone in on only my cornerman's voice and block out the rest of the crowd because it's too easy to get caught up when you do hear that stuff and it's easy to laugh.
Well, I'm not allowed to speak, so I do the look, and then I think you winked before your eye was swollen shut, but and you won, which is crazy because this is the face of a winner. Yeah. And if you want to see it on Instagram, we can show photos. But it's a brutal sport. We saw a couple no contests, a couple eye pokes that in the main event, you know. So
yeah, man, it comes with the territory. I mean, like, it looks bad because, you know, I got a nice little black eye, but, you know, I said somewhere else, like, last year I had a fight, same date, same place, actually, and it only went about 60 seconds, and my face pretty much looked the same. I had a nice big black eye. Like, it just takes one good shot with no gloves on to get your eye looking like this.
But, you know, there's plenty of people that go and use makeup to look like what you look like right now so that they can walk into Publix like a badass. You know, so you didn't have to do that.
Put on fake cauliflower.
I don't go to Publix. It's Wendy's.
It's the same place. Rankings just came out. Do you look at that stuff?
I do look at it.
Where are you ranked?
Fifth for light heavyweight.
You should question who's doing the rankings because I had you much higher.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, like, since they did update my record, just they didn't change anything in the rankings, but the guys that are in third and fourth, I now have a better record than. So in my mind, I'm like, I should probably be ahead of them, you know, but they do what they do.
I know one guy who did rank you ahead of those two people. So yeah. I don't know if we're allowed to divulge that we're who the ranking people are. I don't know if they keep that stuff secret.
Only if you know how to count past five.
Okay. Some of the rankings are a mess. Like, there's people on there who haven't fought in years.
Right. Yeah.
There was one before I said, why am I not doing this as well? The guy who lost was ranked above the guy who won.
Yeah, that's a tough one to sell.
Yeah, and that bothers me whether I'm doing the rankings or not, because you guys deserve people to take the time and do this properly. Right.
Yeah, I wonder where all, like, they pull their decisions from with, like, why they should be where they are, you know, but...
Dartboard.
Yeah, sometimes it seems like it, honestly.
It definitely does.
I'm happy for you, bro. Like, you look great out there, you know.
You here to eat?
I am. Yeah, we ordered some calzones that are coming up.
And can I persuade you into creating a fireman pizza with jalapenos on it?
Can I suggest you get food made before Matt gets back there?
I'm going to cook for Colin Hay next week, so kind of a big deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got Crystal here too, so this will be her first experience at Torta Pizza, so better be on point.
Well, I'll keep Matt here on the air then. You know, so all right, we're out of time. Jared, thank you for stopping in.
Thank you.
We need to get you back on.
Congrats, bro.
Coming to you live from wherever the heck this place is. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. And Men at Work might be here next week.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.